Dust Body Radio. Life at the Dust, Dust, Dust Body Radio.
You need to tune in.
In your career,
Steady J hold the title, and I bet when the smoke clears, you gon' need you a bottle, cause this vlog is real talk, ain't no American Idol, Jack is some more, and Terry Lamona in your divider, and if you don't tune in, you might as well play the lotto, because your chances of winning is like wishing in a bottle. This is Life After Dust, music wins with hot models, we got em. Life After Dust, 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 by the radio, to come up is a must, must. People tune in on your radio, you could even visit dustspot.com every Monday and Wednesday, Steady J is on.
Yeah, what's up everybody, it's your boy Steady J, and we're in the building. We got a very, very special show for you today. So, yes, man, today's show, you know how we do it every freaking Wednesday. Here in the show, we bring you the Hump Day at the Dusk edition. But that's only one thing missing if I'm going to say it. I got to bring my buddy in to say it for me.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Hump Day?
Yeah. So, yes, it is officially Hump Day. I don't know if for those of y'all that didn't know that already, I'm reminding you now, it's Hump Day, and it's going down. So, man, I'm so excited right now, guys, because, wow, I'm just so excited. I can't help it. We got a lot going on for today's show. You know, we'll be doing so much, man, so much. You know, we do the 2 hours and got a lot going on. And, oh, I forgot to mention, let me go ahead and make that point. And that is, and everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, if you're going to help somebody, please do it responsibly. All right, now that we get the public service announcement out of the way, I'll go ahead and just let you guys know what's going to be in the show today. We got artist Karana Jackson coming through. Talk about her new single that came out yesterday on iTunes. Woo-woo! And then, obviously, she's always going to be talking about how she came into music. So we'll be talking to her first hour. Then T. Marie, you know how T. Marie does on the second hour, the T. Marie hour. And she'll be welcoming relationship expert / officer Stephen LaBarcier to talk about how to spice up your relationship and also talk about his success in the subject as well. So, you know, you can't talk about the subject unless you know what you're talking about. So, definitely can't wait to have more. Now, I'm going to attempt something momentarily. You're going to have to bear with me, Lord. Bear with me, Lord. Bear with me. So, what we're going to do, I'm going to attempt to try to call somebody for their birthday. We'll see how well that goes. So give me a moment. Y'all going to catch me doing the most. Matter of fact, I'm putting my thinking tongue while I do this because I've got a lot of thinking. I got to find this number real quick. So y'all got to give me just a moment. Thinking music, please. There we go, everyone. We're ready. We're ready. Never going to make it happen. Let's see. Let's try this. See if we get it.
Hello?
Hello. What kind of place is Spencer Dustin? Sorry, please.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm a very special friend of yours. Can you hold on a second? I have a special message to tell you. Don't move. Just relax. Wait a second. Wait. Don't hang up. Sit still. Happy birthday, Destiny. It's your boy, Ceddie J.
Thank you. You're retired.
I got you live on the air. We got you live on the air with me. So
you got me on the freaking radio?
Yes.
This is so embarrassing. Thank you.
I had to play call you. We put a fake voice.
I've seen this New York number. I'm like, who are you?
So I'm like, if I call for mine, I can't get her. So I'm like, you call from the show's number, she can't figure it out. It's me.
You retired it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I was like, she's like, oh, you didn't see me. Because I didn't say happy birthday to you all day. I was like, I'll wait because I want to do it on the show. So definitely happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I'm glad I didn't cuss.
Oh, you have been fine. You were cussed. It would be cool, but you know.
Well, thank you, my love.
Yeah. So you got anything you want to say? You know, let everybody, you know, give some shout outs so let everybody know.
Oh no!
What you plan on doing for your birthday?
Nobody. I give you a shout out. That's it.
Hey, what you doing for your birthday? You counting sheep? Watching a bunch of movies on TV. What you doing?
I'm getting my hair done.
Getting your hair did?
Yeah.
getting your hair did?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm kind of jealous of you because do you realize what day your birthday is on?
Huh?
Oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
Scorpio season.
Hump day.
Your birthday's on hump day, man. I'm hump day. Hump day, yeah. So yes.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, I'm gonna let you go and do what you're doing. I just had to sneak up on you. You know, no one knew this was coming on the show, including yourself. So we had to sneak up on you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right, yeah, that was my good friend, Great Destiny Shay. Had to sneak up on it. You know, y'all know how I do. I just don't like to do right. I can't do things the normal way. It's just so boring to me. You can just, you know, anyone can say happy birthday, but when you can do it with your own show, it's just so much fun. So, again, I was definitely happy birthday to my good friend, Destiny Shay. Definitely appreciate big support she always gives me. And she's part of Team Turn Up. You know, we pretty much invented Turn Up. You know, a lot of people be saying they turn up, but they don't turn up. So we had to show them how to do it the right way. So, again, I want to just give a big shout-out to Destiny, again, for the meantime, and happy birthday to her. All right, so I want to definitely share one story with y'all for the day because what would this show be without giving y'all just a little bit of hot mess? That's what I do best, right? Give everybody some hot mess. All right, so, And, you know, because we've been lately going, you know, we've been doing a lot of stories of people stealing stuff or whatever. What should we do? Because, I mean, the costume, y'all remember the costume one. That was ridiculous. Oh, my God. All right, so today, Which one do I want to go with? Which one do I want to go with? All right, we're going to go with this one here. Y'all wait for this one. This is interesting. Okay, so apparently an art thief says robbery was too easy and threatens to sue museum. Wow. Remember, repeat that again for some of y'all. Didn't hear that the first time. An art thief is, you know, he's apparently, you know, I guess he robbed his museum, and since it was too easy, he just, you know, he stole stuff like classics like the Monet and whatnot, and it's just, he's just saying it's too easy to get, so the fact of the matter is he's proving the point of, if I get it, it's easy, then, you know, a lot of your people should be worried, and I think it's really it's like a double con, because first off, he's stealing from the museum. Second off, you know, he knows that he's proven a point, and it's basically turned to blackmail. That's really all it is basically blackmail. And he's suing them, you know, to try to get money out of them so they can put some hush money, or he's going to let the secret be out. So, oh, man, y'all better get that taken care of. This dude sounds like he about that life. He is about that life, man. Wow, wow, wow. Shout out to the crazy that goes on every day. I ain't got time for that, you know. We talk about a lot of criminals over here. And a lot of stuff these criminals do, I don't know how they get away with it. It requires too much time on their hands. I mean, you've got to really fill me in how that makes any freaking sense. So, yes, this guy is officially on my list of crazies. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go into a track from my guest of tonight, my girl Kawana Jackson. This track from her is called Coming Out. Just came out yesterday on iTunes. Cop it. Because y'all going to be downloading the show on iTunes. You might as well download a track while you're on there. I'm pretty sure what tracks on iTunes is about $1. That's like getting a double cheeseburger at McDonald's. So I'm pretty sure you can spend $1 on getting a track on iTunes. I'm just saying. Yeah. And while waiting on to see what's going on, audio for a moment. Want to go ahead and remind you guys, coming up rest of the month, let's see what we got. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have on Real Sur Radio, you'll be doing another episode. How are we doing? One of the probably the ratchet, most ratchet show in show business. Yes, we said ratchet, and we're proud of it. Check it out. You get a lot of craziness on one show. It's definitely something you don't want to miss. So definitely check out Real Sur Radio tomorrow at the same time, same place. All right, we're going to try this again. Hit it. But
What's up, everybody? This is Entice Diamante, and I got to let you know that every Monday night and every Wednesday night, you got to come through the Dust Spot. That's right. Tune into Life After Dust with Karen Lamond, Jakisa Moore, and my boy, Steady J, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Pump day?
Yeah, and we're back. This is Chrissy Hump Day at the Dust. I know how they do it. So, yes, that was my girl Karana Jackson with... I was even freestyle in my head, y'all, you know, and I'm going to try to get on the remix, right? You know, I'm trying to be like the next little Wayne. Like, that's what I'm trying to be, man. That's what I am. But, so, man, I was definitely speaking to other persons who made that song. We got it. Without further ado, I want to welcome the beautiful and most certainly complimented by her talent, Kawana Jackson in the building. What's up? What's up?
What's up?
Welcome
Thank
to the show.
You.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yes.
Glad to be
and
on
the show. I see you over here in my thing. You ever roasted me? He said, you singing again? They just give me a hard time, man. They know I'm going to be on American Idol, man. I don't know why they're messing with me.
They clowning you. Oh, no, that's
you know,
not good.
I'm telling you, man, I haven't got my rap name going to be little Lindbergh, like, because I'm always getting teased.
Wow.
I know you're clever, right?
Why did everybody's rap name have to be a little somebody? Little somebody.
I'm 6'3", and I'm talking about my name is Little Whatever. I'm really laughing at that. The people be like, 5'1", be big, or Lisa Pillow, big, too. Joe, you ain't nothing but Buck 05 and 5'1". You talking about big, big.
Oh, man.
I'm glad to have you in the building. You know, you definitely... You know, I checked at your reverb, you know, when I first seen you with the company that's doing it. And I was like, okay. And, oh, man, you know, I definitely see one of the people you has an influence on that was Jill Scott. And I definitely can tell that, you know, she's definitely an influence. You know, you definitely have your own sound. But everybody always has that person inspired by that. You kind of give them a little... power to do a little more, so definitely
yes.
Feeling your music.
Yes, I really appreciate it, and of course, yes, Jill Scott is one of my influences. I love Erykah Badu. Anybody out there that's soulful and that sings from the heart, I'm really into those types of singers. So many out there now. I love Yolanda Adams. You got some of your old school singers. I love Toni Braxton, Aretha Franklin. My gosh, it's so many. But I think I really resonate with those that sing from the heart and sing from their soul and really sing from what's going on within, you know. So, yeah, they're definitely
some of
my
influences. Yeah. Actually, you mean like the ones that be that they kind of
well, deep in that spirit.
That's right. I'm telling you because that's real singing to me. That's real soul singing. It's really singing from your heart. So for me, I kind of connect with those kinds of singers, those kinds of songwriters. That really does it for me. So yeah, that does give me a little push and some inspiration to help me do what I do. So if it wasn't for them, there would be no me. So absolutely.
Yeah. Tony Doobie, she do be crazy.
That's right. Oh, yes, absolutely. And that rich alto voice, too.
Yes.
I don't even think we really have that.
I mean, she's talking about breathing. That's how much singing she was going. She's talking about, that's what deep in the heart. sinking so hard that she can't breathe again. That's
wow. Exactly. So yeah, that does it for me. I love that kind of music. There's some good artists out there today too. But
yes.
I definitely love R&B, soul. I'm kind of like a person that I'm an all around kind of an artist. I might anything that sounds good or just kind of really speaks to me. It could be a rock song. It could be something that's a little country. But if it's saying something meaningful that touches my heart, I'm like, ooh, I like that. So you know, hey, I mean, I was even listening to some Taylor Swift and. I've listened to Nickelback, you know, so I'm kind of an all-around kind of a person because I write too. So I pay attention to the words a lot, pay attention to the lyrics and what people are saying because I really like to write all my own songs.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a and how long, you know, I don't even know if you addressed this. How long have you actually been doing this?
Well, I really started getting real serious about it in around about 2011. I had started peeking into it some years earlier, but I think I really got serious just a couple of years ago. And so now I'm just really making it in the forefront when it used to be more so in the background and I was interested in it, but, you know, and did things here and there. But just a couple of years ago, I just really got serious and just started writing more, paying attention to editing my songs, getting connected, and affiliated with just some of these different organizations that help with your copyright, like ASCAP. You know, really got affiliated with them and just really took it more seriously, you know, because music has always been there for me ever since I was a kid. I remember standing in front of my grandparents' house when I got home from school. And me and my best friend, we're putting on shows like we're singing for the world. So from that age, around, what, 5, 6, 7, around there, all the way to adulthood, it's always been there. And I think it's just been a constant. It's always been something that I've gone back to when I had something going on in my life. I would go and write a song about it or... any kind of milestone and anything that was happy, whatever, I would go back and write a song or I'd sing. So it's just always been there.
Well, most definitely. Now, as far as speaking of current writing that you've done, kind of tell us a little bit about the track you played. Which track came out yesterday on iTunes or copy people? And I believe about our quoted rate is only $1 or 99 cents on iTunes.
That's right, 99 cents on iTunes, and you can also find it on.
That's a double cheeseburger,
y'all. Absolutely, just 99 cents, that's it. And you can get Coming Out. It's also on Amazon as of yesterday, so you can download it off of Amazon.com as well. And the song is pretty much, that's right, 99 cents. You cannot beat that. And to get an inspiring song, I think it's just a great song. For me, it was an introduction to who Kawana is and pretty much what she's about. It's an anthem song. It's inspiring. It's empowering. So when you hear it, you feel like, yeah, I wanted that song to make you feel good. And I wanted it to talk about how I'm feeling good. I'm feeling free. You know, it's just an introduction of Kawana Jackson to the world that, hey, I'm coming out. There's been a lot of things inside of me that you all have not seen yet, and this is my time. And this is my time now to break out and allow you to see everything that's been on the inside of me all of these years. Because I've had some people that have been like, you know what, you know what you're saying. And they know me. You know, they may have seen me when I was at work or in school or whatever. And they were just, you know how there are sides of you that people just don't see, or you just haven't exposed that side of you to the world yet. And so this is the part of me that I feel like is the real me, where they get to hear just a little bit about me through my songs. So my introduction and my empowerment, and I believe that a lot of people can relate to this song as well. So
yeah, I like it. I mean, it's like it's like that shopping center type of music. It makes you want to go to the shopping center and go crazy. Like, you know, you're in the dressing room and you still, it's like I visualize it's like these chicken in the mirror. It's trying all this stuff that she got paid on Friday. It's like
that's right.
When she's like going crazy as well. And then she's wearing this nice dress, and you're like,
you know what?
That was like what was in my. I just gave you. You ain't got the video. I just gave you part of the video, right?
You know, but I'm glad. Like the song gave you a visual, right, Betty? It gave you a visual. And you know, I'm glad that means that, wow, okay, you can see it in your head what I'm thinking about. So that's great. That's great. Yeah, video hopefully will be coming soon. But, yeah, it's definitely one of those songs where you feel like, hey, you know, I look good, I feel good, I'm independent, I'm strong. I know my haters can't stand me right now, but I'm so high, I can't even see them. So, you know, it's just one of those kinds of songs that you shouldn't celebrate yourself. You shouldn't feel good.
You rocking them suits, brand new suits and tailors. You should feel good. That's how you look at the family coming out.
That's right. That's absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's not the shoes, it's the diva that's in them.
That's right.
Watch
out,
don't be y'all trying to steal my stuff. I steal my quote.
Oh man. Well, I definitely like that quote, because that's really what it's about, you know. You know, the clothes actually just accentuate the person that's on the inside, so that's
right.
What that is.
Right.
But yeah, definitely coming out is a song really not just for women, it's for everybody.
As a man, I felt like I'm going, and heck, it's like you said, exactly. It don't really matter, because I can go to Karen's right at Dillard's, mm-hmm. and people won't even know that. Yes, I'll be shopping Karen's and Dillard's for that, listening.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day, it's like you said, because in this day, some people can go buy expensive clothes, but they don't have
mm-hmm.
good taste in what clothes they get. And it's like, $1,000 or something doesn't match. Like, who doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you said about the taste, you know. You know, it's your own style. I heard, I believe it was P. Diddy said this, that he said, you make the clothes. You don't let the clothes wear you. You wear the clothes. You make the clothes come out. You know, because it's all you exuding your essence, and you're making the style, you're making it fashionable, you know. So it all just comes from within. So, you know, it's one of those things. So, yeah, definitely.
You call me moisturize, what do you say, preserve your sexy and moisturize your situation.
Wow. I like that. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was what was it? Oh, that was when he used to do the what commercials was this? I can't think of Clearance. It was like not Clearance, but it's Proactive. He was in that Proactive commercial. It was like preserve your sexy, get moisturized, and situation. I was like, wow.
Oh yeah, wow. That's a wow one. Yeah, so absolutely. So everyone listening, go ahead download, get a download on Amazon.com and on iTunes, 99 cents, and help spark your day up or help spark you up. Sometimes we need those empowerment songs every now and then. We just need to hear it. And this is one that you need to put in the collection. You can have on hand for one of those days where you're like, you know what, I need to hear some empowerment. I need some positivity. I need some good vibes coming out of a good one for you.
It's already been done for me. I'm already, you know, when I first heard it, I was like, yeah, this is one of them songs I've been playing a lot on here. Like, I love it. And especially the fact that I deal with models. It's just a song that's perfect.
Oh, perfect. It's definitely perfect. For models, yeah. Walk the runway, walk the catwalk, off this song, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, and you know what? I want to give a shout-out because I could not done it without. Yes, Maximus Music Studios. They're the ones that really helped me with that nice, clean, crisp sound. So they did their job with the engineering and giving me a great sound.
Mr. Parker.
Yes, Mr. Ira Parker.
He was on here, like, I want to say about 2 weeks ago. He should have warned you ahead of time I was crazy.
Dude, I'm not scared of crazy. Y'all got a little crazy in us, so.
But I'm crazy.
Yes, sir. Mr. Ira Parker, I just want to give a shout-out to him and his team over at Maximus Music. Yes, they helped me do that and helped me sound great in the studio.
And
so.
That explains it. That now explains it. You can tell when you did something with engineering. So now it sounds like real crisp. Like, I wonder who did, because I was going to ask you that actually who did. And as well as, like, when you go into the studio, like, how do you prepare yourself? Because everybody does different things. Some people do yoga, so they go into the studio. Some people pray. Some people do take things from the earth and puff, give it or whatever. What do you do when you go into the studio? Before you go into the studio to relax your mind, to prepare to lay some great music?
I like to be comfortable, so. And as far as my clothes, I'm, like, really comfortable. I'll have my sweats, the most comfortable clothes that I can have on. I like to have those on because I like to just feel, I don't want any hindrances. I don't want anything holding me up from just putting my whole self into it. So I'm with sweats. And most of the time, you know, I've already kind of prepared myself and have been working on the song. So pretty much have my mind wrapped around everything, how I want it to sound, and everything's pretty much lined up and arranged exactly how I want it. So when I come in there, I'm real free. I don't like to waste a lot of time, so it's just like, yeah, I know exactly what I'm going to do. Let's go in here. Let's do it. And, of course, you know, in my own spare time, I always, you know, ask God to give me the song, give me the right notes when I'm writing the songs and when I'm arranging them. It's definitely a spiritual thing for me because a lot of the songs that I get, I really, really pray because for me, the music is a platform. It's not just, you know, just a hobby. Although it's been there with me all the time, for me, I just feel like it's a spiritual thing. And you get to use this platform to speak to millions of people. So you need to be saying something that people can relate to, connect with, make them feel good. It needs to do something, you know. So, so, yeah, that's pretty much what I do.
Okay, now people come to the show, that's always a part of the show where you cannot get away from it because it's when it gets crazy. And this is the crazy, steady question time. This is where I ask you 30 questions, and you got to answer them. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. Okay, so as far as all your songs you put out so far, what would be your favorite song you put out and why? But don't say all of them because that's none of that's part of the rules. You don't go for it. You got to figure it out.
You know, I would have to say so far. So far, this one has got to be my favorite one. So, and, you know, and I'm saying that because it's kind of like a new movement for me. And you hear me say that in the song. Everybody's gone through stuff. I've been through a lot of stuff. But as of late, I feel like it's just a rebirth and a new movement, a rebirth of Kiwana, a new movement, me freeing myself, me being conscious of things that have happened in my life and why, or just being just a more conscious Kiwana. So I think this one will have to be my favorite one because it's representing me now coming out in my new birth.
Okay. Yeah. All right, now, as far as the next question, that's where it says getting crazy. For the fellas that want to know, are you dating? Are you single? What's the situation?
Oh, wow. I am single. So, I'm single.
Now, as far as the country, so as far as you being single, what does it take for somebody to occupy your time? You know, I know how it feels being single myself. It's hard to get your time, especially when you're working like crazy. After the person, as far as when they are blessed with your time, what is the way for them to make sure they utilize it as much as possible?
Wow. And you're right, Sadie, because it's busy right now. I hardly have time for my own self sometimes. So.
You tell me. I'm blessed to my life.
I know, right? So, really, to get some of my time, you probably need to be doing probably the same thing that I'm doing, being in this music thing, and because that's pretty much what I've been doing, and getting the brand out there, letting people know about Kiwana Jackson and what I'm doing, and letting them hear the new music and this new birth. So probably need to be in the same vein that I'm in right now, because that's where my mind is right now. So, so I'm connecting with people that are in that same mind frame, because I kind of have to walk and talk, walk and work, you know. I'm busy, but I do enjoy having fun. I do have time where I make time to have fun, because you can't work yourself to death. So.
It's hard, though. I understand that. It's so hard not to do it. You try and do something you love and really go hard at it.
Yes, it is. Every now and then, I do try to take a breather, and I like to spend time with my family. I put some pics up on Instagram a few weeks ago, and I hit a couple of cookouts. And actually, one of the cookouts was she's my auntie friend. Really, she's known me. She's been my mom's best friend since before I was born. So, she is actually a breast cancer survivor, so she had this little big cookout where she was celebrating being 5 years cancer-free. And so I took some pictures there. Being cancer-free. And we, instead of bringing her a gift, we brought, she had like a list of things that we could bring to help breast cancer patients that are going through chemotherapy. So we bought toiletries and things like that, things that were on the list. So I was like, this is great, partying for a cause. I like this. So we were dancing, having fun, doing the all the different slides, electric slide, cha-cha slide, every slide. Yes, and wobbling. We were doing everything. But you know what? We had such a great time, and it was partying for a cause. So I make time for those kinds of events, family events. As a matter of fact, that whole breast cancer awareness thing was a plus. I did go to an Amp for a Cure concert. It was a jazz concert that they had, and the proceeds went to Amp for a Cure, which is an organization that raises money for cancer research and awareness through music. And I'm proud to say that as of this past weekend, I just found out that they have put me on their roster as one of their artists with the Amp for a Cure Foundation. So yay for that. So I'm really, really excited about being a part of that, because that's a really big, big deal, really big organization. A lot of artists in the industry are part of that. And I know Music Soul Child is one, and they just have various artists that are starting to jump on board with that because they're doing lots of great things. So,
I want to say something about this, I definitely, personally, I want to congratulate you for it because on the beginning of the month, first show we talked about, you know, is artists really taking time out to utilize their craft to get back to our call. And breast cancer awareness is something that everybody should get back to, because, you know, a lot of artists, you know, a lot of rappers, especially rappers, I think that's the first thing, especially when most of their fan base are females, you should take the time out to give back to the females. And males do go through breast cancer, too, for those of y'all who are ignorant to the fact. There have men who have died from breast cancer as well.
That's right. And then the great thing about Amp for Cure is that it's not just breast cancer. They provide resources and funds for any type of cancer, which is actually something that's close to my heart as well. I told you I had an auntie friend who was diagnosed, and she became cancer-free. But my dad last year, we found out that he was diagnosed with bone cancer. So that was a really big thing for our family. So we were with him and kind of held his hand through that, and he actually came through where he's now cancer-free. So we are so excited. He went through the whole chemotherapy thing, went up to Duke University, and now he's cancer-free. And so it's definitely something that's close to my heart. So anything that I can do to help with awareness and research, I'm definitely trying to do that. So, we all need to get involved and get knowledgeable about, you know, what are the things that cause cancer. We need to eat right. We need to exercise. Those kinds of things, you know. We definitely need
even
to be aware.
Even makeup, too. Even put on a certain type of makeup to be triggered soon.
We definitely have to start getting aware and start researching things out. And I love the fact that I can use my music as a tool, you know, in a concert or whatever, just to help raise money so that people can be aware. I really feel good about things like that when I'm able to do things like that.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, you were about to like to see it already. I like it more, even more so now, because the artist is actually giving back. He just... It really makes you want to support them. I understand credit to us all the time. You know, don't do it just to try to get support. in your music. Do it because you want to do it, but the reciprocal of it is people see you actually giving back, they're going to give back to you and support your career. It's just the common sense.
Yeah, I really, really appreciate that because it's really all about, we're all in this world together, and it's all about touching somebody, reciprocating what's been given to you, you know. At the end of the day, you know, we want to touch people's hearts. We want to help heal people. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be loved, you know. And I'm just doing my part while I'm here in the world. So, yes, whatever I can do, that's what I want to do.
All right. Thank you. I got one more question for you. This is one of the toughest ones, and it's so understandable because you only get to pick three. If you had to pick three places in the world to visit, what would they be and why?
Three places in the world to visit and why?
Thank you, music.
Well, I've been interested in... Oh, no, I got the answer. You don't have to put the Jeopardy sound on.
Look at that.
I have
money.
The answer. No, my first place would be, I've been wanting to go to Dubai, over in the Middle East, and I'm so fascinated with Dubai because it's, it used to just be just complete desert just a few years ago, like a decade ago. It was like nothing there but just desert and sand, and now it's a metropolis, and it has water, and they have yachts there, and it's like, wow, you know, this city just sprang up, and everyone's flocking to Dubai, so I want to, and it's one of the richest and wealthiest cities now in the world, and I'm like, wow, this city just sprang up. I want to go visit it. I would love to visit there. And I would love to go to, I want to go to, China. I don't have a particular city in China, but I just want to go, because I've always wanted to visit an Asian country. And, you know, I just wanted to visit an Asian country, and China just always sticks out in my mind. And I would say the third one would be I want to go to London. I want to go to London, England. I would love to see where the royal family lives. You know, we always see that on TV, and they're always coming to America. And you know what? One big thing about it, too, is I want to go to London, I want to go to England, because it's like a British takeover right now in the music industry. And I was
they support the show and everything. It's just like crazy.
They do. You got Adele, you got Estelle. I mean, it's like, wow, you know. And so they come over here, and they definitely get a lot of love. So I'm like, you know what? I want to go over there and see, you know, how they, because they do support American music. They really do. But I would like to be on their turf. Absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite songwriters is Marsha Andrews. And, you know, she's from London, England, you know, and I think she's marvelous. I mean, great songwriter. Does she have what?
Does she have Quarpets and Tay?
I think so. I think that's one of her favorite dishes. Comfort.
She just wrote for some of those wankers over there.
Absolutely. You know, she wrote that song, I Hope She Cheats on You, with a basketball player. that she's Kim Kardashian her way up. Don't know the difference between a touchdown and a layup. Yes, I remember she talks about those wanksters.
That's a perfect answer. That was perfect. That's fucking perfect.
They can find me at www.KawanaJackson.com. And Facebook, you can find me on Kawana City. And you can find me on Twitter, Kawana J. You can find me on Instagram, Kawana Jackson. I'm all over social media right now, so but definitely hit my fan page on Facebook and also KawanaJackson.com. And you go to KawanaJackson.com right now. If you're a subscriber, you get a free media package, free download of the new song. So,
definitely subscribe. It's not hard. It's good. Come on now, people.
Yes, that's my gift. That's my gift right now. For becoming a subscriber to KawanaJackson.com. We've had so much love. Oh, my gosh. So many people just sending out love. We've got people that have already gone to iTunes to download the song. And I'm just getting a lot of love right now, a lot of support, a lot of people on social media shouting me out. I definitely want to give a shout-out to JDS Certified. Oh, man, just all of the just work behind the scenes. I mean, I definitely want to shout out just my whole team of people that are just helping me do this right now. JDS, Maximus Studios, just lots of people that are just sending me love right now. So definitely look out for me on social media. And look out for me. We'll be coming out at the top of the year. We'll be hitting heavy with some new stuff. So 2014, look for some new music, more new music for me or from me. So stay tuned. Definitely stay tuned and stay connected.
We will. Well.
I appreciate you.
I think we got a building. I'm going to go ahead and see that for now. It's in the building. The host of the second hour is checking in. Is that you, Team Marie?
Okay.
What's up, T?
Hey, what's going on? What's the deal?
What's up? You know, as we get ready to come into your hour in the building, you know, we just got a chance to talk to the beautiful and talented Kawana Jackson, who's still on the line with us now.
Hello.
To know, say what's up,
Kawana.
Hi.
Hi,
how are
you? How you doing, Kawana? I'm fine.
Doing great. Doing
it's a pleasure
great.
To
Thank
meet you.
You. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. You had a lot of fun.
Well, agreeing to interview. I did. I was at church, so I didn't get a chance. My little bub was at church, so I didn't get a chance to check all your interviews out.
I know. I can tell she's from the island somewhere. Not from America. No. You know, Teddy had me put on that my English accent. So, you know, we just played a little pretending game like we were from England. And I had
fun.
Yeah,
thank you for England, because she said that was one of her, one of the places she wanted to get the most. And she wants to have sales to claim. So we put on the accent, and we were acting funny.
Yeah. So, yes, right. I definitely have fun. I really have fun. I really appreciate y'all bringing me on the show. Absolutely.
Well,
so
definitely, definitely. Well, you know, we got to go to the second hour. You can definitely hang out with us. You know, you want to clown in the second hour too, definitely, because you can get some advice.
Yes, I got all the questions everybody too scared to ask. You're going to be asking them, so everybody needs to definitely stay tuned in so y'all can help it go down.
All right.
Yes, and all three of us are team single, so we will be listening very closely.
I'm finna help the single ladies know how to get them, how to find them. They get them a single man and single men. I'm finna help you get find you a single woman. I'm gonna let y'all know. I'm finna get into the do's and don'ts. It's going down.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to get. You know, I'm out here trying to get toes. You know.
I'm trying. Like you said, he's trying to get it too. So yeah.
I'm just out here trying to get toes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, little mama?
Oh Lord.
I really laugh. You know, ladies get annoyed, but I sit there and I laugh like, you know, guys not only say that stuff, but then they actually work. What the heck? What language are you speaking?
I just can't. Every
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Hump day?
Yeah.
Yep, yep. Hump day.
Don't try to judge me. This is the no judgment zone. No judgment zone.
All right. I put my judgments in. Oh, let me get my box.
Please. No one cares about it right here. Now let me stop.
My judgments are in a box tucked away.
Yes, no judgment zone.
All right, what we got going on for today, man? Remind everybody what you got going on.
Mr. Steve, I want to know if it's Steven or Stefan. I'm waiting for him so
Stefan.
Stefan, okay. I kind of figured it with the A, but I just wanted to make sure, you know, some people be trying to spice up their name. Anyway, but yeah, I'm just ready. That's who I'm ready for, because when I tell you I got everything ready for him, because as everybody knows, I'm single. So I'm trying to see, you know, get some of these relationship tips so I can meet my king.
Well, guess what? Do you know it? You just as you wished it, it shall be true. He's in the building now. Welcome. What's up, Stefan? Oh.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up, Stefan?
Doing good. I hope you're enjoying yourself.
Yes, I am. Thank you for agreeing to this interview. It's a pleasure of mine.
Thank you for having me on.
I guess we'll get started. You want to tell the listeners about who? Pronounce your last name for me. I know your first name is Stefan. Pronounce your last name, please.
The last name is Labossiere.
Labossiere, okay.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners a little bit about who Stefan Labossiere is.
Well, I'm a certified life and relationship coach, the author of an award-winning book, How to Get a Woman to Have Sex with You If You're Her Husband, and also the Amazon bestseller, God, Where Is My Boaz? I also have my website, StefanSpeaks.com, where I have a lot of articles and just offering people services like coaching. I'm also a professional speaker and just trying to help people improve their lives and improve their relationships and just move on a much better path.
That sounds cool. When did you decide you wanted to be a relationship expert and why?
Honestly, it was all God. Because my bachelor's degree isn't even in this field, to be honest with you. I've always been that guy, though, who people would come to for advice. And to be honest with you, I actually always wanted to be in the field of psychology even when I was younger. But I was always told that there was no money and, oh, you got to do something different. Oh, you're good with math. Go be an accountant. Go do computers. So I kind of strayed off a path that I kind of always felt deep inside. And as I got older, when I got closer to God, really, is when I kind of really figured out what my purpose was. And people just opened up to me. And I've been able to see a lot of things that others don't see. I'm able to hear about the issues that a lot of people aren't aware about. And because of that, it's allowed me to help more people and to understand what they're going through. So just dealing with that and just seeing so many hurt individuals, so many damaged relationships, and understanding that relationships are so important in society. If we could get people in better relationships, like, a lot of things will improve in life.
Especially our future, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Kids.
So I think it's important, and I think sometimes we don't put a high enough value or we don't view it the way we should as far as our mental and emotional health. So, you know, that's what's really pushed me into this field. And that, and of course, like I said, God is the main reason why I do what I do.
That's good. So I'm a single woman. So help me understand, what do men want? Because apparently I don't know what they need. They won't. So help me.
Well, okay, the thing is, are you concerning yourself with what the average man wants, or are you concerning yourself with what the man who's best for you will want?
I want the man that God used the rib to create me. That's who I want. I don't know.
All right, well, if you want that real, genuine relationship, then it's likely, because it's going to vary with every man, but it's likely he's looking for a woman that knows how to be supportive, knows how to be loving and not have her walls up, you know, can work as a team and not as an independent individual. Not that there's anything wrong with the ability to be independent. That's a beautiful thing. That's sexy. But once you're in a relationship, you've got to know how to depend on each other. You have to know how to work together, you know. And if you still have walls up because you don't want to be too vulnerable, that's going to be a problem. All right?
I can see that. Of course, I can see that.
Exactly. And, you know, taking care of yourself. These are the things that men are going to value. Honesty, straight, being straightforward. A lot of women will complain that men don't communicate well, but the reality is a lot of women are horrible at communication. They might talk, but they're not saying what's really going on. They're not being completely honest and straightforward. They're speaking in code sometimes. The man who's best for you doesn't want to deal with all that code. All right? He much prefer you say exactly how you feel. So all those things are would be wise to embrace if you truly want that genuine relationship. Because if you're stuck playing too many games or have too many walls up, it's going to hinder the process of you getting what you deserve.
I can see that because I'm an honest person. I do keep walls up. I'm like, hey, you got to prove yourself to get past this wall right here.
Yeah, and but while you're trying to make him prove himself, he's thinking, okay, this is too much. And some people will say to themselves, oh, well, if he really loves you, if he's really into you, he's going to push through all that. Listen,
exactly.
Men have feelings too. No, men have feelings too. I don't know if you were aware of that, but we can get frustrated.
Yes.
We can get discouraged by the constant trying to fight through those walls. And sometimes, you know, it's not that he gives up, but to keep putting forth this maximum effort, trying to push through a wall that you feel like you can't get past, especially if it's a man who's already putting his best foot forward. See, it's different when it's a guy who knows he's messing up. He knows he has to make up for that, so he's going to keep pushing. That's why the guy who messes up has no problem crawling back to that woman and trying to hold on to her. But if I'm a guy who's been doing good by you, all right,
mm-hmm.
and I've done nothing wrong, but you keep pushing me away, How much do you think I'm supposed to fight through that? I can only deal with so much.
Exactly. But then, I mean, okay, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I guess I'm just, I don't know. But just, he got to be
mm-hmm.
strong. So he got to, you know, break down some of the walls. But I do understand maybe he don't need as many walls he has to try to break down.
Yeah, and listen, nobody can make you bring down your walls. Here's the reality. If you have walls up because you're holding on to past hurts and you haven't healed, if I come across to you and I'm this amazing man, you know what you're going to think? You're going to think I'm too good to be true. You're going to look for something wrong because you're going to have a hard time believing I could be this good. So if anything, the more I try, the more love I try to give you, the more scared you'll become. So, no, fighting is not going to help nothing. If you're not willing to put your walls down, it's just not going to work.
I can do that. So, you know, okay, I feel you on that part. So, what is the biggest mistake you see singles make when they looking to find a partner?
One of the biggest mistakes is focusing on this specific list in their head or this specific image of what their partner is supposed to look like. And be like and act like in the circumstances, you know, they have this wish list. And, I mean, yeah, we all have our preferences, and that's cool, but the reality is that if you want what's truly best for you, then you have to be open to a lot of different possibilities. So you might meet a man. You may want a man who has no kids, never been married. But the man you truly connect with might have a kid, might be divorced. For
so how do a woman identify their deal breakers? Because that's like a deal breaker for me. If a guy has more than two baby mamas, I just don't know if I can deal with that. I'm not going to say I can't because I can deal with anything God gives to me. But at the same time, that's a lot of people. You know what I mean? Two baby mamas.
But here's the
so
thing.
That's like a deal breaker to me.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. Because here's the thing. Number one, again, if you're going to trust God with the process, then he knows better than you what you can handle, what you could deal with. He knows if it's only going to be a few months of nonsense before this thing turns around. So already you're operating inside your own logic. You're shooting yourself in the foot. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, when we have deal breakers like that, we don't take time to evaluate the situation. So here you're saying, I don't want a man with a kid, and I don't want a man who has two baby mamas or whatever. The reality is not the baby mamas aren't the problem. The problem is that you think in your head, Baby mamas equals drama. Baby mamas equals more problems I'm going to have to deal with that I don't want to be bothered with. But what
exactly.
if that man... Yeah, okay, understood. But what if that man has a manageable situation? What if he has two baby mamas that don't stress nobody, don't cause any problems? Guess what? You won't even give a chance to find that out because you're going to cut
you
it.
Think,
the minute... Go ahead.
Okay. No, I see what you're saying, but that's a lot of drama. Just with it. You just...
Wait a minute. Again, you're assuming. Listen, is it likely that multiple baby mamas mean there's some drama around the corner? If we had a study, it'd probably say yes, okay?
Okay.
But the reality is that you have not given yourself a chance to evaluate that based on that specific situation. It's like a woman who says, I won't date a younger man. The issue isn't the man being younger. The issue is whether he's mature enough for you. And if you really want to allow yourself to have all the possibilities of getting what you deserve, then evaluate the person for who they are, not the circumstances. Because you're boxing yourself in that way. Now, if you talk to the dude and you see his baby mama's a drama and he's not prepared to handle that and have a manageable situation that you can deal with, okay, ain't nobody telling you to stick around for that.
Okay.
But you have to evaluate that for first. You can't just make the assumption, oh, well, there's kids involved. No, I can't do this.
See, I promise you, when I first meet you, I start asking all type of questions. And I'm just like saying, okay, well, what's on my deal breaker list? And if it's on my deal breaker list, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I'll talk to you later. And never talk to him again.
And then people will wonder why they're struggling with dating.
Yeah.
They're eliminating everybody based on these deal. Listen, and again, if someone doesn't believe in God, then do whatever you want with all the deal breakers you got. All right?
Yeah.
I can't tell people to work outside of logic if they don't believe in God. But if you believe in God, then it's like you're playing both sides. You're saying, God, help me out, but God, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. You can't do that.
I see what you said.
Pick one or the other.
Yeah. You ain't well, I might. Open myself up, you know.
Sure.
So should a prenup be a deal breaker?
A prenup?
Yeah.
I don't think it should be I don't know if it should be a deal breaker. I think that when it comes to certain situations like that, again, and I have to speak on it from both spiritual and non-spiritual. If you're not spiritual, then prenup to me really shouldn't even be a problem because it's like, hey, they're just protecting themselves. Maybe you want to do the same. We all know that some marriages don't, or a lot of marriages don't always last the way they should. So it makes sense from that standpoint. From a spiritual standpoint, if you're trusting God that this is a person that's truly for you, if you've actually asked God, then you don't really need one. But, again, we're going to play with our logical minds and say, well, no, but still, I got to protect my – well, then, again, you're not really trusting God then. You know, again, pick one or the other. Either you're going to do this your way or you're going to do this God's way. I don't think if God's in the mix, I don't think you really need a prenup. That's my personal opinion. I don't think I'd get one because I'm going to make sure whoever I marry is I got clearance from God that this is who I'm supposed to be with right now.
Right. So it just depends. Exactly. So how long would you say that on average a couple should date before they consider marriage? Because I've heard people say if you feel like somebody's the one, you marry them within a week or so. And I hear some people feeling like you should move in, kind of see how the person is actually living before you decide to take that step.
Well, the thing is, we have to understand that things are relative to each situation. So basically, I could know someone for 6 months, but let's say I've only spent 2 months worth of time with them, okay? Whereas somebody else could be with somebody for 4 months and spent a year's worth of time with them, okay? It's less about the time frame in months and years, more about how much time have you spent with them? How much time have you spent getting to know them? Have you asked the questions? Have you really dig deeper into who they are as an individual? Do you truly, genuinely feel in your spirit that this is the person you should be with, or are you just getting so excited because you done found somebody that on the surface makes sense, so you want to just jump all over and get married right away? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Yeah.
You know, because some people can get married very fast, and there's nothing wrong with that because they truly there was a connection there. They done really investigated each other. You know, there was more to it. And you have people who really, they not only was it quick, but they really didn't know the person at all. You know, they just got caught up in the hype. They got caught up in the excitement, and they got married, and then next thing you know, they're divorced 2 years later. Not even 2 years sometimes. I think people get divorced months later, like, what the hell did we just do? You know? So it varies. It really varies. I just think you got to make sure you know who you're dealing with, or you've taken the time to try to really understand who you're dealing with, and you got to be true to yourself. You got to really be honest with yourself. Are you getting caught up in the hype, or is there something genuine here?
Okay, so in a relationship, and it's going to be a little tough, but hey, y'all, it's hump day, so everybody, don't forget it's hump day Wednesday, so you know I'm going to say something wild. So how important is, how important is sex in a relationship?
Sex in a relate. Okay, here's the thing. Because I'm a promoter of trying to keep sex within marriage. I'm going to keep it real with you. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like I have not engaged in sexual activities in the past, so I'm no saint. But the goal is we should keep it there. Now, I just wanted to get that disclaimer, but moving forward to answer your question, the reality is that, yes, sex is important in a relationship. Sex is important for a lot of people. I do think that we're putting too much value on sex when we're in just a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Mm-hmm. So even though it is important to people, I think we need to change the way we approach it. And not just because, again, I'm a man of God, and I don't want to just say, oh, just because God said so. No, because the reality is so many people's judgment gets clouded with the sex. So many people latch on to the wrong person because of the sex. So many people are getting used because of the sex. It's not really setting anything up good for a long-term serious relationship, for a long-term serious marriage. So if your goal ultimately is for something more, for something greater, then I think that it's in your best interest to put it to the side. But for those who want to engage in it, it's going to be important to them. And if you're going to play that game, then know what you're setting yourself up for.
Yeah. I can hear that. Okay. So what are some signs that your spouse is cheating? Like if you're in a relationship, whether you're married or you're dating, what are some signs that help you know, like, that your spouse is cheating?
Some signs that people can be mindful of is hiding of phones. Or excessive secrecy, let's say it like that. You know, you walk into a room, they close the computer screen real quick. Phone rings, they walking out the room. Everything got a passcode on it. Something's usually not right. I'm not saying every person who has a passcode is cheating. I'm just saying when there's excessive secrecy, there tends to be something inappropriate going on, whether it's official, hardcore cheating, or it's just flirting. Something's probably going on that you wouldn't be happy seeing. I also think that erratic behavior is something else that, you know, something might be wrong, and there could be more going on. Emotional detachment, especially with women, because most of the time when a woman does cheat, she's already emotionally detached. Okay? Again, it does not mean every woman who's emotionally detached is cheating or is going to cheat, but it's a sign to be mindful of, you know? That's the bottom line. Coming home all kinds of crazy hours. And again, it's one thing when it happens once. I'm talking about the person who's doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
There's a problem there, especially if you have raised a concern. And they're just like, oh, you crazy, oh, you tripping, oh, they just dismiss you some kind of way. Yeah, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. And but if you're a woman, bottom line is your intuition already tells you.
Exactly.
Women are stupid. Women are extremely smart. Women catch every little detail. When there's erratic behavior, they catch it. When there's a change in just anything that he does. Women are very detailed and pay attention to everything. They can stay quiet. They can make no mention of what's going on. but they see something. So you just got to trust yourself. You got to trust your intuition. A man is more likely not to catch on.
Yeah, I know women. Our intuition is something else. So my little intuition, what I just go by, like if I gotta start suspecting and snooping and stuff, then 9 times out of 10 it's already something there. So don't even waste my time looking silly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What would you say to a couple that's considering moving in with each other, and they're, you know, they're trying to see if they're ready to move in because they want to take the next step, which is marriage?
I think that if you want to be very smart about it, you got to have a plan. Some people would say don't move in together. Of course, some people would say, oh, it's a sin to live together before marriage. The reality is the sin is having sex, not actually being in the same house. So if you're already having sex and you're not living together, it's not going to make a difference that you're living together now, so as far as that argument is concerned. But I think that a lot of times some people move in together thinking that it will be the next step to marriage, and next you know they've been living together for years and ain't nothing happened. And the woman or the man, most of the time the woman, is frustrated and upset because she's like, well, what's the hold up? So I think that if you're going to take that step and if the purpose is to see if we can move on to something greater, then there should be a plan. It should be like, okay, we're going to do this for 6 months. And if we're good for 6 months, then at that point we should be getting engaged. We should be getting married. You know, really, I would say don't even move in until you actually are engaged. Why are you moving in before then?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But either way, whether it's before engagement, after engagement, there should be a plan in place. Because if there's no plan in place, man, let me tell you, you might be there for God knows how long.
Might be there for
looking at your finger like, man, where is this ring? Why isn't it on my hand yet?
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I just did. How important are finances in a relationship?
Finances are very important. Money is a big reason for why a lot of marriages fail, or one of the surface reasons, because I'm a firm believer that there's always deeper issues that really cause the downfall of a relationship or a marriage. But on the surface, yeah, money plays a big role. But more importantly, is I think when you see a lot of issues in marriages or in any relationships, period, it's less about how much money is being made and more about how the money is being managed. And I think that's where the mistake is being overlooked a lot. Is people are not financially savvy. They don't understand how to properly handle their money, and they're getting with people that they have not questioned or investigated as far as how they are with money. You know, again, it's one thing. You can get with a guy who makes $100,000 a year, but if this dude blows through money like it's nothing, you may still find yourself frustrated. Like, so how much he makes, that's great, but what's more important is how does he manage this? And the same thing with a woman, because you're that guy who has $100,000. You get with this woman who don't know the value of a dollar, and she done ran through your account in months, and you're like, what the hell is going on? So you have to be mindful of, does this person have an understanding of finances and how to be mindful of it, and what is our agreement on how we're going to approach it? That's another thing. People don't sit down and say, okay, let's discuss this. Let's budget. Let's understand how we're going to handle our money in this relationship, in this, more importantly, in this marriage. And that's where they get in trouble. You got people with joint accounts both charging stuff to the account at the same time, not talking to each other. And next you know, they're in overdraft. And now they're stressed out. Now they're fighting because, well, the problem is you didn't have a plan in place. You didn't have a certain structure to stick to avoid these kind of problems. That's really where what it boils down to. It's really it's not as much about the amount of money being made, from what I've seen in a lot of my clients and just people in general.
So how soon is it okay to discuss credit? You know, like, what's your credit score? You know what I mean?
I mean, to me, my perception is going to be a little bit different than people. I don't see anything wrong with it whenever, first few dates, really. Well, once you see that, really, to be honest with you, the first few dates should be more dedicated to, do I truly connect with this individual? All right?
Okay.
Is there a genuine
okay.
connection there? Because it don't matter about the credit score if you don't have no connection. if y'all don't get along, if y'all can't be friends, if you guys don't know how to really enjoy each other, all that other stuff doesn't matter. So really, it doesn't even need to be discussed in the first few dates. Once you see, okay, we got something here, we want to move on to more. All right, now let's get to the nitty-gritty. What's your credit score? If we ain't have sex, hopefully you didn't have sex yet, let's see some STD tests. Let's make sure you're clean. Let's check into the deeper stuff. What's your criminal record? Because if I'm going to now tie myself to you in any kind of way, now I need to know the deeper stuff.
Right, yeah.
And it shouldn't be a problem with it. And if somebody has a problem with it, then that might not be who you need to be with at the moment. Or they're not ready for that kind of commitment. And maybe it's just time to walk away or just fall back for a while.
Well, I think I just asked it too quick. I'm like first date type stuff. Hey, I told you, I just give you a whole list on the first date.
Yeah,
you like a B, I'm like, nah, I can't do you. I need somebody.
See, that's your problem. You over here talking about you single. You don't know why you can't find a man, but you are dropping them on the first date on every turn you get. Their credit score not good enough. They got a kid too many. They got an extra baby mama. I mean, dang, woman.
Don't do me, Stephanie. But that's why I'm glad I had you to talk to me, because you actually helped me. So thank you again. I really appreciate you, because I know I'll do it. I will go through a whole list of questions, and you'll be like, look, hold on.
Just try to enjoy yourself on the first date, please. I mean, God, that's what it takes for.
I know. Pray for me. Just pray for me. Leave me alone. Anyway, so yeah. That's what I do, so the credit goes. So what are some signs that a person is, well, before I go there, what are some things that, because I don't know, I find a lot of guys who don't really just know how to date. So what are some things that people can do, like, as far as going on a date? Because some people might be on a budget, so I know they can't, do the high dollar Grand Lux meals and stuff. Mm-hmm. What are some different type of things people can do on a date to just, like, show a person that they really care?
Well,
or
first, let me
in getting to know them.
One thing I want to throw out, that I feel the need to throw out there, is that for some guys, it's not that they don't know how to date. It's they're not willing to do certain things for certain women, all right? So what I mean by that is you can have a guy who will take one woman to a fancy restaurant, and the next woman, he won't do nothing more than order takeout. All right, and tell her to come over to the house. So it's not that he doesn't know how to go on an actual date. It's that he's determined in his mind, I'm only going to do so much, or I'm going to test how little she accepts from me.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So always be mindful of that, because, again, I've seen men who can treat one woman like a queen and then the other women treat them like they're nothing. You know, and it's the same guy. He wasn't enlightened all of a sudden. He always knew. He just didn't see the value in that person to do it. Now, as far as what can people who honestly may be struggling with ideas or understanding how to approach it, especially on a budget, museums, art festivals, just a walk in the park, go get some ice cream, meeting at Starbucks. Like, it could be just very simple stuff, because the reality is, again, the first date or the first couple date is about trying to see if we connect. All that extra fancy stuff is not needed. It's not necessary. Let me tell you one place not to go on the first date. Don't go to the damn movies. That's the worst thing to do.
Yes, because I'm going to be asleep on you. You're going to be waking me up at the end of the movie. Hey, you ready?
Exactly. And you're not getting to know anybody at the movies. You can't talk. You can't enter. You're not getting any real interaction. You're just watching the movie for a few hours.
Exactly.
It's pointless.
Yes.
It's pointless. Save the movies for later when y'all already know, okay, we're good. We're moving forward. That's the thing you do when we have that vibe. But initially, stick to, if you truly are genuinely trying to see if this is something I can build something with, it needs to be activities that allow interaction. That's it.
Okay.
And there are so many low-budget, inexpensive ways to do that. And if a person takes issue with that as far as saying, oh, well, that's not enough, that's on them. They got a personal issue they got to address.
So what do you say? Okay, because a lot of people, like, I'll meet guys, and, like, deal breaker for me, don't you talk about me either, Stepper. If you ask to come to my house on the first date, that's a deal breaker for me. Like, I don't do, you can't come to my house on the first date. No, I think we should be out in public. What you trying to come over here for?
You know what he's trying to come over there for.
Exactly.
You know exactly what he's trying to come over there for. And guess what? Some men, listen, here's the thing. This is what I want women or men, anybody to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's blatant disrespect, and sometimes it's ignorance, all right? And when I say ignorance, I just mean they may not realize how this is not the way to go. Believe it or not, not everyone completely understands, because they may have become so accustomed to women saying, yeah, you can come over, or women even initiating going to the house on the first date. So in that man's mind, he may not know any better. So what a person should always do, rather than just cut them off, all right, simply say, yo, I don't roll like that. I don't do that. We don't do first dates at my house. We don't do second dates at nobody's house. Now, you have a choice. Either you can embrace that and make some adjustments and we can keep this going, or if you're not happy with my reply, you can keep it moving.
Exactly.
But to cut them off right off the bat when there are situations where some people just don't know any better. They really don't. And to some people, that's like crazy. No, it's common sense. What's common to one is not common to others sometimes.
Yeah, that goes back to communicating well, too, because I'll tell them, too, but after they said it, it kind of, like, bothers me. Like, why would you even ask me something like that?
So many women say yes. That's what you have to understand. Yeah. Listen, a man isn't likely doing something to you that he never did before. Okay?
You have a valid point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you're the first one he ever tried it on, he probably tried it because his homeboy did it done 5 times already and it worked for him. Okay? Somewhere in his mind, this is acceptable or this can work. That's why he's going to try it. It isn't a blatant, oh, well, she ain't nothing, so I'm just going to try to go to her house. That's not the thought process sometimes. It's just convenient.
It comes off like, that is so insulting to me. And I just say, do you really think I'm that type of girl? Because that's the only thing I think you're kind of trying to get something you don't got no business trying to get.
It's not that he thinks you're that type of girl, but he might be hoping you're that type of girl.
You know what? You made me almost spit out my drink. Stop. But you know what? He probably do be hoping it, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Listen, at the end of the day, whether that man is interested in something serious or not, there's still a good chance he wants some sex, all right? Unless he's a man who's pledged celibacy or is walking a different path. You know, there's some dudes who don't want to rush it for, you know, their personal reasons, or they just figure that maybe they don't want to risk pushing the woman away. But other than that, yeah, a lot of men, even when they're in a genuine pursuit of dating, they want to test it out. And if they can get it sooner rather than later, they're going to go for it. But it's not always a blatant disrespect. Again, if the man has no respect for you, then he's not going to make any adjustments once you call him out on it. So basically, if all he sees you as is a girl to go over the house and have sex with, and you say, no, this isn't acceptable, you got to come better than that. If he really views you as that, he's going to walk away from it. Or he's going to try to convince you why he should come over. But he's not going to turn around and take you to a nice place.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Now I'll throw this in. Now, some guys who still are focused on the sex may still say, okay, I'm willing to make the adjustment because I want to get it that bad. That's possible. Yeah, but again, this is the blatant disrespect, don't see you as nothing more, he's probably going to be like, I ain't got time for this. I'm out. Because he knows some other girl's going to say yes to him.
Yeah, point. Because it's probably more out there.
Ain't nobody
yes
got time for
no
that.
I know, right? Say that shit again. Now, let me tell you, I'm just saying. Okay, so now my next question. How
ain't nobody got time for that.
So how long do you think, how long before sex? How long should couples wait before sex? I know people really should wait till they get married, but, you know, today's society.
All right, well, for those who can't keep it in their pants until they get married, I think that you just got to make sure you're really comfortable with the idea, that you're really truly doing this for the right reasons. When I say the right reasons, obviously for some people it's going to be like there's no right reason if it's outside of marriage. But what I mean by right reasons is if you're a woman and you're doing it because you think it's going to make him like you, if you think it's going to keep him around, if you think it's because it's an obligation or he deserves it, all those are horrible reasons. All right?
So not because he deserves it?
No. What? What you mean? Because the thing is, you're going to do it because you think
he
deserves it.
When he done did all these fancy restaurants. He really done passed the test. He done passed my deal breaker list.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So he earned him a coochie coupon, and now you want to allow him to redeem it. I get it, right? So let's say.
Oh, that's my favorite play in this show.
Let's say he redeems the coochie coupon, and you give it to him because you say he deserves it. I'm going to let him have it. And then afterwards, he don't call you no more. Are you going to be able to say, I'm cool because he deserved it anyway, so I'm not sweating it? Or are you going to feel salty because you gave it to him and now he's not giving you what you wanted after that?
That's a good question.
Exactly. My thing is this. If you're doing it because you're expecting certain results to come out of it as far as a relationship, I think those are all bad reasons because you're going to set yourself up for disappointment. Now, if you're doing it because you truly feel, whether it's because you're just so horny, I guess, and you feel that you want to do this, or if, you know, you just determine in your mind you're ready, you're cool with it, and even if it doesn't work out, that's your choice as a grown woman. All right, I can't tell you what to do. That's your choice, and I ain't going to judge you for it. But, again, know what you're setting yourself up for. That's all. But if you're going to do it and be mad if he doesn't give you certain results afterwards, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. It's almost like the same way. That's the principle with anything. If I give a homeless person a dollar in the street and I'm expecting a thank you and I only gave it to them to get a thank you, that's the wrong reason to give them the dollar. I should give it to them because I'm trying to – I feel other – personal reasons why I should give it, and that way whatever comes from it comes from it.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of women do it and then again things don't go the way they want, and now they feel so ashamed or they feel so salty because I done gave it up to him and now he's not my man, he's with some other girl. Well, then you shouldn't have gave it up to him at all.
Yeah.
If that was your whole goal.
Yeah.
But if you just wanted to get off one night, then again, that's on you. That's your choice as a grown
woman. Just wanted to turn up.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you.
So how do I know the guy, and I'm sorry, fellas, I'll ask another question later, but right now I want to know, what are some things guys do to show a woman that they want, you know, that this is the woman that they want? Because a lot of guys, they are just players. When I say players, I mean, they, like you say, I tell them, hey, you got to take, you know, we ain't finna do nothing. We got to go out to eat, you know, do some outside activity. And he plays that role until he get what he wants. How do you determine if a guy is really, like, really digging you and not just out for the cookies, the thing?
Again, you got to trust your intuition. I know that people want a more specific, structured answer, but the reality is that you know deep inside if he's playing games. You know deep inside if he's not really the best guy for you, but he's putting on – the thing is this. Anybody can put on a good show. Anybody is capable of doing it, all right? So if you're going to base your decisions based off of what you see and what you hear, then, yeah, be prepared to have some mistakes and sometimes get played because some people are great actors. There's no way around that. I can give you all the signs of what a guy does, and some dudes have mastered showing those signs to get what they want. Now what?
I know. Trust and believe. And you know what? Steve Harvey, I think that once men saw that everybody was doing the Steve Harvey thing, all the men, when they read the book, and now they was like, okay, now I'm going to do it this way. And still end up getting what they want and then be out of there. So
yeah, but guess
like,
what? Let me explain something to you. Someone who's lying is never 100% consistent. There is something inconsistent, something they're going to show, some break in the pattern that's going to let you know. And, again, I don't have to tell you this because as a woman, you know. As a woman, no matter how good he's acting, you caught something that said, oh, hell no, I know he's up to something. forget I think he's up to something. No, you know. But then you convince yourself all the reasons to ignore it because he's doing all this good stuff. Well, he's saying all the right things. Well, he's doing all this for me. It don't matter. Your intuition already told you you're dealing with the wrong person. You don't need any additional signs. You just need to be willing to embrace yourself and embrace what your spirit is telling you. You do that, you'll be fine.
What's the key to a healthy and sustaining relationship?
Honesty and genuine connection. You don't have those two things, you're going to have a lot of problems, period. You know, a lot of the other stuff we talk about. The thing is, if you have honesty and you have connection, everything else falls into place. Because people who are honest with each other can tell each other what they need. People who have a true connection with each other will want to do for each other, will want to fulfill each other. You don't have that connection, you got two selfish people trying to be in a relationship. Two people are going to be looking out for themselves for the most part. And it's sometimes not even two selfish people, because you're going to have some people who don't have a connection, and some people are still going to be givers and trying to just do everything that partner wants because they're really afraid to lose them. There's other deeper issues going on there. But the bottom line is, if there's not a connection there and there's not honesty there, you're not going to be able to sustain a healthy, loving, positive relationship, period.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, so what do you love most about what you do?
Helping people, just helping people break free from the negative cycles, you know, see things differently, helping them open their eyes, well, not even open their eyes, helping put in front of their eyes what they've just been trying not to look at. Because the reality is, I'm not saying something brand new. I'm not coming up with some magic formula that's never been said before or created before. No. It's just about being honest and genuine about what's going on. And it's about putting it in people's faces and saying, look, you got to face this. You can't run from this. You keep running from this, nothing will be solved. You know, and I'm going to help you through that. I'm going to help you through the process of understanding how to face it, how to conquer it, how to once and for all put this behind you so that you can get all the things that you deserve. And that, to me, is a rewarding thing. Because, again, the more positive energy I can help create in people's lives, the more they can help create positive energy in other people's lives, the more that we can create a more positive society. And just, it's a trickle-down effect from there, and it's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, that to me is what I enjoy most.
So, for the ladies, are you single? I just throw in some of the craziest questions.
Yes, I am currently single.
Okay. So, okay, look, last question. What are a few things you want the listeners to know about you that I didn't already ask?
That I'm here to help. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I just want to see people move in a better direction. I want to see people heal from the past. And I love everybody, you know, black, white, Hispanic, men, women, everybody. I got love for everybody. Like, I want to see everybody do better. You know, it's not, that's why I don't target my advice towards just one group. You know, I'm not interested in that. I want to help as many people as possible and just help all the communities get better. But I do want to see, I'm not going to lie, even though I love everybody, want to help everybody, I do have a great desire to see better from the black community, you know, and I think that we're fighting too much. We got too much negativity going on. The men aren't supporting the women. The women don't trust the men. It's just like this ridiculous ongoing battle. All you got to do is log on to Facebook, go on a Facebook group, and if the war is on every minute of the day, and I think it's getting out of hand. So I do want to figure out ways to help that, help change the landscape, and help us embrace each other because we need each other, you know. We got to be there for each other if we're going to make things better. And to me, a stronger black community is going to make a stronger world, and it's going to pour out into the other races. So it still helps everybody in the long run, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to start at home.
Well, that's what's up. So, do you want to tell us about your books?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And then you want to give people the social sites where people can find you and, you know, all your social sites, you have websites, just all that information so listeners can stay updated with you.
Yes. You can find me on my website, StephanSpeaks.com. That's S-T-E-P-H-A-N, Speaks.com. On Twitter, at StephanSpeaks. Instagram, StephanSpeaks. On Facebook, it's StephanSpeaks Relationships. As far as the book, it is an Amazon bestseller, God, Where Is My Boaz? A Woman's Guide to Understanding What's Hindering Her from Receiving the Love and Relationship She Deserves. You can get that at www.godwhereismyboaz.com. It's also available on Amazon. And in a couple of days, the audiobook will, well, the audiobook is available on my site, and then it should be live on Amazon and iTunes before the weekend.
And tell them what's your website at again.
The website again is StephanSpeaks.com, and the book site is GodWhereIsMyBoaz.com.
Well, I mean, Sadie, do you have any questions? Is it any callers holding so they can? They may have questions they want to ask Stephan. I did we keep them holding too long?
Just remind you, I do want to speak. Press one. I see, so, you know, some of you know how we got eight. I see a couple on here. Y'all look like y'all being in a shy mode. Y'all want to see? Press that one button.
Okay.
So I see y'all. But no, I had a question as far as a question. No, or more so a comment. I agree with you about non-boring dates because, you know, I'm always a person, I got to do something where it's got, I'm an adventurous person anyway, so I got to do some adventurous date. My last date I went on, it was, I went in laser tag, and then I made it even special because then the, wasn't like all of a sudden, like I got to where I got the workers to go against me and my date. So me and my date go against the worker at the laser tag place. So it was like, it felt like special. It felt like, oh my God, he got the room just for me. So, yes.
That's not
you
like
know, you know, pimping since been pimping since been pimping.
And you saying, that's a perfect example. You see, he didn't have to do no extravagance. Like with women, it's the simple things that they love. You don't have to do all the extra extravagant stuff. Let me tell you, when the woman wants all that extra extravagant stuff, 9 times out of 10 is because she's not really into you anyway. She's just looking to get what she can get out of you. Because guess what? The dude she's really into could do 20, half the things that you did and still get her.
Yeah.
All right? So the reality is you don't have to do all that extra stuff. So like he did laser tag, that's another great example. Something fun, something different. You know, you can go to these game places, climb the walls, whatever you want to do. It doesn't have to always be that fancy extra stuff. And again, do things that you can interact with each other, you can really vibe with each other, get a sense of who you're dealing with, you know?
Yeah, and the guys, y'all trying to get it. I mean, as far as, you know, you're trying to get it from that standpoint, you try to get in the drawers, and you would think you would get that adrenaline pumping. So later chances to get adrenaline pumping, ding, ding, ding. I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord. You know what, Cindy? Whatever. No. Doing all that day, I'm lazy, sick. I have my ass ready to go home and go to sleep. Stop. No, I'm playing. I'm just playing, y'all.
Yeah, see, yeah, see, that's exactly the point. They don't want to go home and go to sleep, so you take them home and put them to sleep. See, I got it all figured out.
Daddy. No, anyway.
I had to be devil's advocate today. That's my job.
So while we still have a little more time, look at me. I am taking advantage of all this opportunity I have.
Go ahead.
So,
you got
again,
some more off-the-top-of-the-head questions you want to ask while I'm still here?
Yes, I need help. I guess I should. What I should have did was had my deal breaker list together for you.
Lord have mercy.
So
listen,
can,
throw away the list.
So
let's
see which
throw
one
away
I
the
need to get rid of.
Or a senatorialist, jeez.
My list is so long. I'm gonna have to look through, and because if anything go wrong on that list, then I'm just like, nah, that's my sign. I need the jet. And it don't always have to be my intuition, but it's like if it's something, I'm like, I need to jet. And I just walk away.
You know what
but
that
I
is?
I should have had it together. What?
You know what that is? That's not a deal-breaker list. That's a defense mechanism list. That's
yeah.
A let me validate my walls list. All right? Let me find a way to run away from this and say, oh, it's because this man had this, that, and that. No, you're just scared. The reality is, again, you haven't healed from something. I don't know all your business, but I know I know. I've been doing this long enough to know what I'm talking about.
I've been in a lot of bad relationships. Like,
there you
I don't
go.
Still dwell on the bad relationships, but, it, like, if I, every time, because I feel like this, anything you go through in life, it's a lesson. It's a lesson that, you know, that God has placed in front of you for you to try to find, you know, so you don't make the same mistake again, because I was raised that only a fool go into the same situation expecting different results. So if I, you know, if it's things that I go through in a relationship and I don't, and it's why my relationship wasn't successful, then I want to add, you know, make sure I don't repeat that.
Okay, but the problem
is, so like
is,
something on my bucket list, like I've dealt with guys who haven't been financially stable. So now on my deal breaker list. I have that you have to be financially stable. And I know it's a recession, but at the same time, after dealing with, you know, people who, you know, I had to pretty much take care of, that's just is what I added to my deal breaker list. I don't care if you work at McDonald's, but, you know, you got to have some type of stability.
Okay, but here's the thing. Number one, you need to read the book, like, big time. But
big time.
The problem is that
I know.
What you're trying to take as lessons aren't completely accurate. So, for example, let's say you mess with somebody who had kids. So now your deal breaker is no kids, all right? The issue isn't that they had kids. The issue is that they did not know how to handle their kids. The issue is that you were dealing with a man who wasn't for you anyway, and you ignored all the red flags before the kids even drove you crazy. Like, there's so many other things that you should be looking at. The problem is you never ask God if you should deal with this man. Those are the lessons you should be learning, but instead you're attaching it to the wrong thing. So you're not really learning what you need to learn. But, again, that's why your list, you just pretty much proved the point. Your lists aren't real deal breakers. They're they're expressions of traumatizations that you have from the past, and you're like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to let this happen again. So I'm going to add all these things to my list.
Your girl, if she go anything, I can, even if I make a mistake with something as simple as, like, the radio, I analyze it to where I don't make, I just have a bad problem of not wanting to make the same mistakes over again. It's just, that's the problem that I do need to work on.
Yeah, well, you're looking at the wrong thing. You really got to change your focus and change your perception on things, because what you need to address, you're not really addressing. And, again, you're holding back a lot. And I am willing to say, if the most amazing man came your way tomorrow, you would run for the damn hills. You would not be able to handle it. You will find everything possibly wrong with him that you can. And if you couldn't, you get too nervous and you couldn't deal with it.
You're probably right. I can almost,
Yeah, exactly. So while you're saying with your voice, I want a man, I want a relationship, your heart is not in a position to handle any of it.
Well, I'm still praying on it. I'm praying about it.
Listen, I love God. Praying is awesome. Okay? But praying by yourself is not enough. You have to put work in. You have to take certain steps in your life to address these issues. If you don't, you can pray every day for the rest of your life. Nothing's going to change if you don't make a choice to change it.
I'm going to change it, but I like if somebody, you know, step up, and I'm not going to ask as many questions starting off. I'm going to ask the main questions, like, how's your relationship with your mom, you know, and all of that. I'm going to ask the serious questions. And I'm going to just, you know, you help me a lot. I'm going to just go with the flow. And then once I feel it's appropriate, then I'm going to ask them about their finances, their credit score, your background. You got any aliens?
Yeah.
Let me get your driver's license number so I can hand it to my mama and she can ring your information.
Wow.
Is this
cool.
A job application or a relationship?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, hey, you finna still dealing with me. But no, the reason why I'm like that is because I'm totally committed. So if I'm in a relationship and if you get the title, then it's pretty much like we're engaged or something, because it's serious. I don't take relationships lightly.
Well,
I think it's too many females who do. That's why, you know, it's kind of tough.
Well, again, and all those changes you're going to make and the new approach you're going to take, that's awesome. That's great. I applaud you. I'm proud of you. But guess what? You got more work to do than that.
I know. Don't you talk about me. And you was not blessed.
I'm speaking to you out of love. I want to see you do better. And I know that you're going to have to address this lingering negative energy you're holding on to and these past issues if you really want to be able to get what you deserve. It's going to take more than just not asking questions on the first date.
Okay, so finances are important, and how many baby mamas they have is not that important, right? No,
listen, you're laughing at me.
I'm trying to look. I don't know what the, you know what other caller's going to grab from it, but this is my what I'm trying to grab since I'm working on me. So that's what I'm going to do. Right? I'm not going to really worry about it. What if they got like 5 baby mamas and stuff? That shows a lot of instability.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know.
But you know what? Listen, I'm going to say simply start with your past. All right? Start with your past.
Okay.
And start with understanding you're going to have to forgive the people who hurt you, and you're going to have to forgive yourself. That's what you're going to start. If you need some additional help, you know how to contact me. But that's where it's going to have to start. All the other surface stuff is cool, but it's not going to do what you need it to do. You need more than that.
You.
Now, we got a question from a caller. Susan, I'm going to bring the caller on this time. Hey, what's up?
Hey. Okay, so I'm wondering how soon is too soon? Well, how soon should you bring your kids into a relationship with someone?
My personal opinion is that the kids should not come into play until after you decided this is a person you truly want to be with. Because the problem is a lot of people try to use their kids to determine if they even should be with the person. Oh, what if my kids don't like them? Here's the thing. If you have a genuine connection with somebody and it's a healthy relationship, the only reason why the kid would not like them is A, they're holding on to the fact that you're not with the biological parent, or B, they're feeling neglected in the situation. All right? There's some kind of deeper issue. It isn't really about who that person is. So you should not base it on that. But if you need them to determine who to be with, that's a problem as well, because it has to start with you as a person. Now, on the flip side, let's say it's not about that. Let's say you just want to make sure the person gets along with your kids, all these things. A man, in your case, a man who truly loves you is going to want to love your kids, plain and simple. All right, a man who truly connects with you is going to want to embrace that. But a man who's not for you can still use it to his advantage. I've seen plenty of people who ended up staying with someone, and one of the reasons, they're good with the kids. Oh, well, they have this bond with my children. And some people know that's the way to get the woman. Go get buddy-buddy with the kids. And they're going to use that to their advantage, and now you feel stuck in a situation that you don't belong in because of this attachment that's with the kid and this person that's not right for you. So that's why those two people don't need to really cross paths, in my opinion, until you know for sure, okay, this is who I'm supposed to be with. This is the person for me. We're going to move into something more serious, and now I can introduce the children into the mix. But before then, I think it's risky business.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, but did you have any other questions for him?
He pretty much explained a lot, so I don't think I have any more.
Okay,
I hope
well,
I didn't hit
you
too hard or something. You sound a
little I wasn't sure, and I just don't like bringing guys around them, even like 3 months down the line if we are, because I don't want the kids to get that attachment to that male until I'm sure. But at the same time, you might not be a good fit with your own kids, or if you don't have kids, then I don't know.
A different issue, though. So my thing is, if they're not even good with their own kids, that's a problem within themselves. But let's be real. Are you really feeling a genuine connection with someone who's a deadbeat dad? I highly doubt it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, men do have excuses.
But again, men have excuses.
You right, girl. I'm going to vouch for you. Yeah.
Listen,
they say that baby mama this, and they can't see kids when it's,
and guess
I don't
what?
Know the other half of the story.
Yeah, but y'all are women. Y'all still know better. Y'all still know when something's not right. Don't get me wrong.
He
I'm not
kids.
Saying that aren't
Look at me.
Plenty.
I'm all asking questions. He has kids?
Well, he has kids, but they're in another state. So I don't know.
How many?
Three.
All from the same, look at me, all from the same woman?
No, two different mothers.
And he don't have a relationship with either one of the mothers or the kids?
Well, he says he do. I mean, I don't step into his business to that extent. Like, oh,
he don't
well,
put
I
him
ask
in the summer
like,
and stuff?
Well, the relationship hasn't been that long. It's only been for 2 months.
All right, but do you feel
okay.
a genuine connection with this man?
I do, and I feel like we can relate on a lot of different levels. But it's just the communication on certain things. We can communicate about everyday things, but then if it's something that's bothering him, he'll kind of just not say nothing. He'll bite his tongue. So I think that that's important, too.
Well, and that's why until those things can be worked out, until you can get to a place where you're feeling more secure, because obviously you do not feel secure yet with this situation, with this quote-unquote relationship. So until you get to that point, he don't need to meet the kids. Because, again, if you two aren't right, him meeting the kids means nothing. He can meet your kids tomorrow and hit it off, and it's awesome. But guess what? You still have communication issues. You still have issues with the way he behaves maybe. Like, that still needs to be rectified. And the only thing that adding the kids to the mix will do right now is confuse you more, because now it's going to be harder to evaluate or to walk away if necessary if the communication issues don't get fixed if he goes ahead and builds some kind of attachment to your child.
Uh-huh.
So you need to work that out first. You need to get to a place where you feel like, okay, we're good. We're moving the right direction. This is the man for me. I'm certain of it, or I feel very confident about that. Now I can introduce the child. But until then, no. And right now, it's clear, now is not the time.
Right.
So then where could I meet a nice, decent guy?
Go ahead. Last question. Go ahead. Ask it.
Oh, Lord. Let me tell you, the best tip, in my opinion, that I give women when it comes to meeting a guy is go wherever you're happy. Because the thing is, you can go searching for places that men congregate at, but if you're not comfortable in that space, you're not going to give off the right energy. Not to mention, if that's not really your thing, you're going to meet guys who really aren't sharing similar interests as you, and that might cause a conflict. But if you're going to places where you're happy, where you truly enjoy, you're going to give off a positive energy that's going to draw a positive man. You're going to be more likely to come across someone who might share some interests as you. It doesn't mean they got to like everything you like, but there's some common ground there. So I think that's the way to approach it, because searching for the places where men are at, it don't really get too many women too far. And even when they find a man in that place, again, is it really the type of guy they want to be with? So just go where you're happy, and I think that you'll be surprised. You're going to end up crossing paths with people, and you might be able to find a connection that way.
Oh, well, never like that girl from Coming to America. Anything you like to do.
What? They're going to be saying a little random stuff. All right. Well, thank you, Shante, for calling in. Do we have any more callers, Teddy?
That is it. That is it.
Okay. Well, one more time, Stefan, let the people know where they can find you and your social sites, your website, all of that good stuff.
All right. StephanSpeaks.com, STEPHAN, speaks.com, on Twitter at StephanSpeaks, Instagram StephanSpeaks, Facebook StephanSpeaks Relationships, and you can get my book, God, Where Is My Boaz, at GodWhereIsMyBoaz.com.
Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you accepting the interview with me. And we've linked up on social sites, so I hope we continue to stay in touch.
Most definitely. I enjoyed the show.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
You too.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up the T. Marie Hour. Thank everyone for tuning in. Be sure you guys follow me on Instagram at TMarie_B_model. Follow me on Twitter at TMarie_MOD. Like me on Facebook at TMarieTheModel. Yeah, thank you, Steady J, for having me in. Big shout out to
ABK. Be sure you all hit up extensiongoalshair.com for all your hair care needs. Said it.
All right, man. My job. Y'all missed any parts of the show. You want to go back and listen to Tawana Jackson, who was on the first hour, or you want to go back and listen to the second hour, listen to Stephon LaRoche here. You know, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/SettyJ, C-E-D-D-Y, letter J, or type in Dust Spot Radio Network on iTunes. You go there, you can actually listen to all the shows. You can subscribe to the podcast and get all the shows directed to your iTunes. While you're there, make sure you get a copy of I'm Coming Out by my girl Tawana Jackson. It's only a dollar. That's like a double cheeseburger at McDonald's. Y'all can spend a dollar on the good stuff.
Hey, I like
yes.
that girl Kawana song. That song was real hot.
Yes, she was fun. I had to say today's show, you know, it was definitely, it was great from start to freaking finish. It was,
yeah.
I even got a chance, and again, I wanted to send a shout out to my good friend, Destiny Sashay. I called her on the show and pranked her and said happy birthday to her. So that was funny. She was like, who the heck is this?
But hey, please get to Destiny, please.
And she's like, who the heck is this? And, of course, we had Gonzo. He played, from his nose, Gonzo for the Muppets, he played Happy Birthday to her. How special is that?
I wonder where it was all rude. He didn't tune in, I guess. Well, he probably
tuned in. Yes, he was being good. He probably, you know, Scooter probably was getting on him. You know, Scooter, if he could, he'd make sure he'd be good sometimes, so.
But, you know what I said? Hey, I was checking my email address. I need to. But yeah,
well,
just
like that's the end of the show.
Yes, and remember, it is hump day. But if you're gonna hump, make sure you do it responsibly, right, Teddy?
Yeah. And also, y'all know how we end every show, reminding you everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it. Remember, where's a J? Over there's a T, over there's you. There is a way. You have tuned in to the episode of Life and Dust Live with your boy, Ceddie J, and your girl, T-Mizzle. All right, we out. Peace. At least this is when we ain't even going to sleep horny. God, that was crazy last week.
I know how. Why?